Good afternoon and welcome into another edition of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Glad you're with me. It's chilly out there. Or at least it's supposed to be chilly. I'm actually not here today. I got some things going on and you know, which is interesting because I knew I had some busy time coming up and I was going to have to pull some shows or record some shows before they aired. And I was actually I've been going back through and updating all the podcasts on Woods and Water, South Carolina. And I'm not very good at that. I'm a horrible procrastinator when it comes to doing stuff on the website. But I do have a website. It's woodsandwatersc.com. And I don't think I've posted anything on there since like early 2018, which is really pathetic. As many places I go and things that I do and all the stuff I could be posting up there. But I have. I took most of last weekend and part of this week, and I actually have updated all the podcasts or our shows. I guess you call them shows here. They're not podcasts. I guess once they're not live anymore, they're podcasts, to the website. So there are 269 episodes of Woods and Water, South Carolina on the website starting the last weekend of March 2014. I'm still trying to run down a few shows that have gotten lost somewhere. May find them, may not find them. They spread over a couple of computers, so I'll have to see if I can ever find them. But yeah, 269. So if you don't get enough of me every Saturday, then feel free to go to the website. Yeah, all you got to do is hover over the podcast tab, and it'll pull up 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And I'm still waiting on somebody to comment that 2020 is empty. Folks, we haven't got to 2020 yet. So even though it's published, there's nothing in there. So anyway, but yeah, that's my accomplishment for this week. Time management going forward is to every time I get those, I'm gonna get them posted, and then I got to do more with the website. But anyway, that's beside the fact. But anyway, having said all that, I knew I was gonna be out, and when I was going through 2018, picking up a couple shows here, when I was in Alaska last year in August with Taylor, Geddes Brannon, my good friend from the University of South Carolina Anglers, came in and ran the show for me, and he had Mark Zona and James Overstreet with him, and I started listening a little bit of it. I was like, oh, this is good stuff, and I figured, well, shoot, I'm just going to run that this week. So what's going to follow is Geddes Brannon hosting Mark Zona, who Zona's Fishing Adventures or Challenge or whatever. You know, he's one of the kind of like on-the-water reporters for Bass Live. And has his own television show, fishing television show, and he's really just a great guy. I saw him and talked to him at Springfield, Missouri, just a month or so ago. And then James Overstreet, who is one of the main photographers for Bass, they come on, and of course, Geddes, he's a character in himself. So anyway, that's what the show is going to be today. You're going to listen to that. And it was just good. I started listening to it, laughed, thought, man, this is really good. I hate for it to air just once. So we're going to re-air that for the rest of the show. But I've got about 6.5 minutes I got to fill up with this one. So from the files of Don't Be That Person, or Don't Be Those Guys, bass boat, two anglers rescued 14 miles offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. And this is from November the 4th. The Coast Guard rescued two mariners after their vessel became disabled approximately 14 miles offshore of Cameron, Louisiana, Wednesday evening. Coast Guard Sector Houston Galveston watchstanders were notified of a disabled, get this, 18-foot bass boat with two mariners anchored, it gets better, without fuel. Watchstanders issued a marine assistance request broadcast. A Coast Guard Station Sabine 45-foot response boat, medium boat crew, was launched to the scene. The boat crew was unable to fuel the vessel due to weather. Then they attempted to tow the vessel, but had to stop the Evolution when it began to take on water after a wave hit the bow. The two mariners were safely transferred to the RBM and taken to the Cameron Ferry. No injuries were reported. The Coast Guard has issued a safety marine information broadcast alerting mariners to the sunken vessel. Weather on scene was reported as 6-foot seas with 30-mile-per-hour winds. Folks, that is not the time to take an 18-foot bass boat into salt water. Now, granted, the weather may have changed, but seriously, I mean, I have been off 23 miles in the Gulf Stream in a 19-footer with 115 Yamaha on the back, And I've only done that once. If I'm going any further than that, I want two engines and about 30 feet of boat underneath me. But yeah, don't be that person. Don't be these two guys. 18 foot, 14 miles off, 6 foot seas, 30 miles an hour winds. They are, let's knock on wood, thankful they are probably alive right now. I'm not going to have time to get to that either. And a couple of stories I was going to try to get to early. Deer collisions, a hunter's perspective, 8 reasons why we hit deer. We may hold that off till next year, seeing as we're into November already. And then historically high numbers of Americans approve of hunting. I mean, this is October 23rd story by Kip Adams out of QDMA. Kind of really eye-opening. Really eye-opening research of support for hunting, and which is good. It's good that, you know, there's what, 8 or 9, 10% of the American population that hunts. And to in this latest research, deer especially, 78%. Strongly approve or moderately approve of hunting each of the following species. And deer comes at 78%. I'll go through this. For meat, 84% strongly approve or moderately approve of hunting for the meat. So we'll get to that. I'm not gonna rush through them because there's some good stuff there, along with the other one, and we'll see. So in the interim, a couple of minutes, let's get a couple of things for the calendar events, which always brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Event Center. And Maury Sports Preserve in Society Hill, November 15th through the 17th, is going to have an OSP shooting school clinic. And they've got Vicky Gill and Brian Ash are unbeatable. OSP shooting school is the best choice for shooters who want to improve their consistency and performance. We are so confident our teaching methods will make you a better shooter. We guarantee it. So, that's a good one for you out there that need a little help with your shotgun sports. There you go. Maury Sportsman's Reserve, Society Hill, South Carolina, November 15th through the 17th. The 22nd annual Carolina Backcountry Oyster Roast at the Sumter County Museum is coming Thursday, November the 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. Music presented by Johnny Hilton and friends. Enjoy a beautiful evening with friends in the museum gardens with all-you-can-eat oysters, barbecue, chili, and collards, and a selection of beer, wine, and soft drinks. Ah, sounds like my kind of place. I'm telling you, when this time of the year runs around and the oysters start rolling in, yeah, you'll hear a lot of oyster roast stuff on this show. And then the North Inlet Winya Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve coming up on November the 15th, Mindfulness in the Marsh. High tide is a special time to experience the beauty and unique features of the salt marsh ecosystem. Join us for a morning of mindfulness and guided meditation that draws the peaceful feeling setting of our marsh boardwalk. So, I agree. Salt marshes are great places, even at low tide. I like them better at low tide. Pluff mud. I remember when Bass was in Winya Bay a couple years ago, they had the Georgetown Festival at the same time, and their t-shirt and sticker at the time says, Pluff mud, make our bass big. So, anyway. Yeah, and again, I'm going to say it one more time. Deer hunters, when you go into the woods in the morning, hook up to a lifeline, wear a safety harness, be attached to that tree from the moment you leave the ground to the moment you come back, because a really successful hunt is coming home in the evening. And boy, let me tell you what, the bucks are rutting. Last weekend, I watched a buck run 5 does for 15 minutes. Now, I could never get a shot at them because I had a bow and they were like at rifle range. And then other times I watch 2 separate bucks wind checking the whole time I can see them. So you're in the woods. Could happen at any moment. All right, hang on. The show that Geddes did for me while we were in Alaska last year is on tap, and it's a good one. Hope you enjoy it, and I'll be back next week. See you then.
We're back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, with Geddes. Brandon filling in for Roger Metz on 94.5 WGTK. The Answer. on the phone with me, I have James Overstreet, and we have another good friend that just joined us on the other line by the name of Mark Zona with Zona's Awesome Fishing Show. You've seen him on, if you woke up early enough this morning and tomorrow morning, you can see him on ESPN2 with the Bassmaster TV show. Z, are you there?
I am here, Geddes, and good to be with you guys. It, and with the cancellation of the last Elite Series, it's been a while.
It has. It's been quite a while, and I know that that you and Overstreet got to spend a little time together and go fishing. And I teased the listeners a little bit and talked about duck hunting with Overstreet. You know, he always goes fishing with you. I have a question. Does James Overstreet ever take Mark Zona duck hunting?
James Overstreet does. Let me answer. Let me be just. Let's go behind the curtain for a minute here, Geddes, if you don't mind me saying.
Go for it,
Steve. Oh yeah, let's do that.
Well, why don't we do that, Street? Here's what's interesting is I have spent an unbelievable amount of time bass fishing with Street throughout the years. Whether it's been taping shows or goofing around, and, but the other side is I talk a big game hunting, but I'm bad at it. I mean, I am really bad at it, and I've never, Overstreet's never invited me to have a loaded firearm in my hand with him. So no, the answer is no.
I mean, I cannot believe that. And you know, they say that Overstreet at one point in time before he decided to get out of the woods and shoot the camera instead of the shotgun, that he was one heck of a duck hunter over there in Arkansas. Overstreet, is there any truth to that?
I mean, you know, I don't know. I was pretty mad at him at one time. I'm kind of over it now. But I see a lot of you South Carolina buddies over here back in the day when I was in the woods a lot, and especially in the duck woods. So you probably have some listeners and some people that tune into your show that they probably made some trips over here to Arkansas to hunt in the woods. So, but a little quick note, I saw this morning. They might want to kind of keep up with this. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is actually talking about limiting the number of days that non-resident duck hunters can hunt in Arkansas. So that's just a quick little note to throw in there. But, you know, I generally try to stay away with Zona with a loaded gun. It's true.
So y'all've had a long relationship through media and bass fishing, a lot through Bassmaster. I've heard the story about how Overstreet, you and Mercer met through Zona, but I have not heard the story of how you and Zona met. So could you walk us through that? Because this is just kind of an Adventures of James Overstreet and Mark Zona segment here.
You know, back before we started doing live and all these sort of things, you know, Zona was, he and Tommy Sanders would come into every tournament venue. And of course I was always on the water shooting photos for Bassmaster, and every tournament day, Zona and Tommy would jump in the boat with me. So it was the three of us out on the water together for quite a few years, every day at every tournament. So, you know, when you spend that much time in the boat with a guy, you get to know him and you get to be buddies and you want to hang out together. And so it just kind of went from there.
Z, I'm sure you have an interesting take on this.
Well, you know, actually, I'm going to rewind a little bit before that. Overstreet worked closely with Jerry McInnes back in the days that we were tagging fish and tracking fish. Overstreet was the wheels on the bus with that, really. I don't want to mistime this, but it was kind of before he was the main photographer for Bassmaster. So he was kind of around the tournaments and Sanders, like Overstreet said, you know, Sanders and I went to every single event. But what was interesting is I remember asking Overstreet, I was like, do you know a lot about photography? And he's like, man, I don't know nothing. He's like, do you know anything about TV? I'm like, no. And here's the thing, Geddes. That is the God's honest truth. We kind of, I don't know, it was a weird time because we were all, and you know, working for Jerry McInnes, and Jerry's a perfectionist. You don't have time to suck around that group, or you end up disappeared. That's the best way to put it.
He knows.
You're exactly right. But Zeke, can you back up for a second? What was it Overstreet told you? Man, do you know anything about TV, man?
Man, he's like, man, did you go to school for TV or anything like that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know anything about anything we're doing. So, you know what's funny is, though, you look back on it, that was a long time ago. That's 14, 15 years ago. There's a lot that has changed, and there's a lot that is going to change. But, gosh, it was so fun to Sanders and Overstreet and Bowman. And you know, we were all best friends. Some days we'd be fighting like cats and dogs, but we truly went into battle together and learned on the run. And I'll never ever take those days for granted now.
Yes.
No, we still talk about it. You hear the term best of times, and it truly was. I'd say that in a minute. That time period through there when we were doing those things and all kind of just getting going and getting started, getting to know one another, truly the best of times.
Well, I hate I missed it because I know the two of you have been great mentors, all jokes aside, and y'all have helped me through this hit the ground running thing that we do over there at JM and for Bassmaster. So it's been quite fun, and I know that Zona's had a lot of things go on with Zona Live and Zona's Awesome Fishing Show, and y'all fish together quite a good bit on the Outdoor Channel, among other places. Tell me about some of your more interesting fishing trips, fishing shows. I think I was probably back in junior high, but we call it middle school now. But I think I was in middle school, maybe even elementary school, when y'all were back in your prime.
Back in our prime.
Dang.
I love it.
Dang,
trust me, the best days have passed us.
Yeah, we have some good shows, man. There's no doubt. And we knocked them all out in one day. When we would do a show, it just seemed like everything went right. And I don't know why that was. It just happened that way.
Well, you know, when I was on set with Zona a month ago, it was just one of those things. To watch Zona fish, I mean, if you're a pro and you decide that you are going to be Mark Zona's guest, you better have your rod in your hand the whole time, and you better be ready to catch some fish.
It's been interesting because what's funny is I always use, there was one certain show that I always use as the bar that I taped with Overstreet, and we've done several. I mean, we've done a bunch all over, and I don't know, knock on wood, Overstreet has been a horseshoe every time he's been in the boat. And one of those shoots was down on Falcon Lake that I looked at Overstreet when he came down there, and I said, man, I saw things out here the other day with Jeff Cree, and it was when Falcon was at its prime. And you just had to go and go and go, and all of a sudden a collision would happen with, I know this sounds nuts, but a collision would happen with 7 to 11 pound bass. And it was near midday, and it started. And when it started, words cannot describe that footage, because every now and then I'll rewatch that show. And I remember taping that show, and Overstreet caught one. It was like a 9 pounder. And I looked at cameraman Wes Miller and I said, you better remember this day, because we may never see this again.
Now, is there a way for the listeners back at home to be able to watch this this infamous Falcon show that y'all speak about?
I believe it's on myoutdoortv.com. I believe it is. It is in that library on there.
Now, speaking.
Go ahead, Z. My bad.
It's myoutdoortv.com. But you know me, Gattis. I don't even know if that's a website or an app. I have no idea.
That's probably true.
Well, again,
if you can find that, you do need to go back and check it out, because you know a lot of people say, like, big fish, they don't do a lot of jumping, they don't do all that much, they just kind of bulldoggy and do a lot of pulling and that. But there you will see the most pissed off fish over 10 pounds you have ever seen in your life on that show.
Oh, I can believe it. And I look forward to talking a lot about this and at the top of the hour, at the bottom half of the hour, excuse me. And we're going to talk a little bit about Waddington coming up next week. Zona, you know a little bit about smallmouth fishing, and so does Overstreet. And we'll talk about the Forestwood Cup, which was right in Overstreet's backyard. That was won with right under 40 pounds over 4 days on Lake Ouachita last week. And a good friend of our show, as I mentioned earlier, Brandon Cobb, finished in ninth place, making it his fourth in a row. All four cups he's qualified for, he is finished in the top 10. So that's been really good, guys. We've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you. Sorry that Roger's off in the Alaskan wilderness, but we're going to do our best to bring you what Woods and Water South Carolina is all about. All right, and going to the – we do not have the calendar events this week. I was looking to see if we could find those. From Neil Paul over at Visit Anderson. Neil, we look forward to – that's another thing we need to talk about, guys. We need to talk about coming back to Lake Harville for the Elite Series next year. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be during a different time period, a little bit different time period, but a couple weeks means everything with the winners that we have here. That'll be it. So y'all hang on through the top of the hour, and we will be back here at the end of this. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This is Geddes Brandon sitting in for Roger Metz this week. I have on the line, in case you've missed it, James Overstreet, Mark Zona. Guys, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you,
absolutely.
Right on. And Geddes, you're killing it today, bud. Nailing it.
There's no doubt, no doubt.
All right, well, while we're on that, let's just... Can we talk about Arkansas for a second? What's up with Lake Ouachita? It took 36 pounds, 13 ounces to win a four-day tournament.
Well, that's what happens when you come over here in August, man. I mean, you know, if you come in, I fish that lake, I don't know, probably more this spring and late spring than I have in a long time. And, I mean, man, you'd have 20, 30, 40 fish days over there. It really wasn't that hard to do. But you get into these dog days, and then, of course, the lake doesn't have the – when the lake had coontail in it all over the lake, you know, I mean, it would stay good even in the heat of the summer. But, I mean, it's just when you come over there in August, that's a tough place to fish. You know, it's none of my business, but they're going to come back to Hot Springs. I mean, you got Lake Hamilton right there in town. I think I'd rather be on Hamilton than the summer. You got thousands of brush piles and hundreds of docks, and I don't know. It's just a tough place in August.
Well, hats off to Clint Davis for winning that tough derby. Like I said, he had 36 pounds, 13 ounces. And second place was James Nickmeyer with 29 pounds, 14 ounces. And guys, those are two names that we're familiar with because they were with us last year on the Bassmaster Elite Series. And, you know, Clint had two years of the Elite Series, and he went back to FLW. Zona, let me ask you this. Is 2 years long enough to actually prove what you can do on the Bassmaster Elite Series?
I think a lot of factors go into that, Geddes. You know, Street and I have been able to, through the years, you can genuinely tell if an angler, when he comes into the Elite Series, you had better start swinging punches relatively quickly, or you're going to get in a downward spiral, in a bad way. with that being said, you know, you look at guys like James Nigmeyer, who's been around for a long, long time, and you'd see spurts here and there in the Elite Series, but would really struggle with consistency. And looking at Clint Davis, now here's what's interesting about that tournament that happened at Wichita was, look, when you go there this time of year, there's three things to do. You throw a top water at the bank, you go throw a worm out deep, or you chase schooling fish. Above and beyond that, you're chasing your own tail. I think this is one of those tournaments where a guy like Clint Davis, you didn't have voices. And what I mean by voices is you don't have a lot of techniques trying you one way or another way. And if you watched his final day, it was just a comfortable flow. That whole day, he could bunker into what he was doing, really, and that's what James did. Because there wasn't another two or three or four techniques that pried you away. And I think that's why those guys excel.
And when they're catching that size of fish, I know he brought in the largest bag of the tournament on the last day. I think it was a little over 17 pounds. You compare that, and it's not even comparable, but you compare that to us going to Waddington next week when you're on a school of 3.5 pounders and you know that that's not going to work. You're right. You hunker down and you keep on fishing and you fish comfortably. Moving to the Waddington event, what's going to happen over there? I want both of your opinions on that, actually.
Oh, you know, that that's a place that I've taped with Overstreet. I fished that place a long time since I was in my late teens. And here's what's unique about Waddington. You can catch them very, very, very deep or very, very, very shallow. And, not to leave that area of the country, but my kids fished a tournament last weekend way up north on that same parallel, and there were smallmouth spawning everywhere last week. And I've never in my life seen that in the month of August. I'm curious to see if that population will be up shallow when we get there next week. And Overstreet has seen that with his own eyes.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, when we canceled the Chesapeake Bay tournament, I kind of thought that was going to be the tournament that was going to be the make or break deal for some. That was going to be the one tournament, maybe that and Sabine, that were going to be the toughest deals for a lot of people. But now you got it down to where this thing of the year race is going to get settled there. And, you know, it did take a lot of people out of that race because the points aren't going to be there for that thing to flip flop just a whole lot. So,
now with that, though, Overstreet Bass did announce yesterday that they are now going to take 16 people to the classic bracket and have three berths from the classic bracket instead of just one and eight anglers. So, you know, they're trying to help those Freddie Rumbanises, Brandon Coulters, those guys that are right there in the middle, that really could have benefited from the shakeup of the Chesapeake Bay. But you're right. This Waddington tournament is going to have a lot of major Toyota Angler Year implications.
You know, that classic bracket deal we started doing is, that's probably one of the neatest things that we've added. And taking that thing from 8 to 16 guys and giving them three classic berths, I tell you, man, that's not a bad way. You know, you got to beat 16 guys versus, you know, an entire field. So, that's one heck of an opportunity for three of those guys to make their way into the classic next year.
And Z, will you be at Waddington or will you be at the Angler of the Year Championship? Which one of these are you going to be at?
I have been notified by the seven bosses that Overstreet and I share that I will be at the Angler of the Year event. I was supposed to do the Chesapeake, but they bumped me to the AOY. But with that, you know what's interesting about that Waddington tournament is what Overstreet's talking about. You look at the top of the heap right now and you look at Bradley Roy, and how consistent he's been, okay? The scary thing about the what he has to really overcome in these last two tournaments, your drop shotters are Josh Bertrand, Justin Lucas, Jacob.
Zona, are you still there? I think we might have lost Z. We'll try to get him back on the line, but I still have my buddy James Overstreet, and I think we can.
He's back.
We lost you there for a second. You're talking about the drop shotters that that Roy needs to hold off at these final events to capture Angler of the Year.
Yeah, that's going to be. And I apologize, guys. I'm kind of in the middle of nowhere, jumping on an airplane, going nowhere. The guy that's got to be worried right now is Bradley Roy, just because these next two tournaments are going to be big time electronics tournaments, and he at least I haven't seen him do a lot of that in the coverage we've had.
And Overstreet, I see a name in ninth place in Angler of the Year that you say is pound for pound the toughest guy in professional fishing.
The Golden Ram, yeah, Clifford Perch. He's got a pretty stout record up there. You know, he's got a lot of points to make up. That's going to be the problem. Is not as much time to make them up. But yeah, Clifford Perch, pound for pound, he's the toughest guy to me in bass fishing, easily.
And then you have Justin Lucas running you down with Bradley Roy. He's definitely in contention. That's definitely not a pack lacking any experience with Brent Chapman, who's one Angler a Year. And then you have Casey Ashley, of course, always in the mix. Ott Defoe, Dean Rojas, Jake Berizen, Clifford Perch, and then rounding out the top 10 with Jacob Wheeler. It's going to be an interesting tournament, and you know, what kind of weights do you think we're looking at there, Z?
Oh, as far as weights up at Waddington,
yeah.
I mean, you got to have 20 across the board, man. You got to have 20 across, and that's what's really scary for your guys that are in this Angler of the Year race. With that being the final tournament before we go to the AOY Championship. And Overstreet knows this. You can have 17 pounds at Waddington on the St. Lawrence River, and you find yourself in 70th place. I mean, that's one of those scary bodies of water that you can get on a pile of 3.5 pounders, and that ain't going to cut it. You got to be sniffing that 20-pound mark every single day there.
Oh yeah, and that's exactly what we talked about with I talked with Bradley the other day about actually finding your 17 to 18 pound mark fish, and he said it's hard to leave that quality of fish, you know, even though you know it's going to take 20 pounds a day. And that's what it took when Van Dam won last time we were there, and I knew it took more than that when Polnick was there the time before. And it's definitely going to be an interesting tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what I'd like to know what Bradley's mindset is. And you know, every guy's usually got a number in their head when they start out every day. What his numbers are going to be. Obviously, you know, he's going to be thinking, I'd love to have 2021, but you know, what do I think I can get away with? You know,
that's definitely going to be the case.
Z's right. You're going to have that. It's going to stack up so much at that 17 and a half, 16 and a half to 17 and a half, 18 pound mark. Man, you could be ounces and be 30 places away from where you want to be.
All right, guys, we have a lot more bass fishing to talk. Well, about 15 more minutes of it as soon as we come back from this break. Thanks again to James Overstreet and Mark Zona for being on the line with us. We'll be right back with you. Tell you what, Roger's got some music picked out for these intros and outros. I like these pretty good. Sounds like something Z might be listening to when he's shaving off Seth Fighter's mullet. That was quite a good time. Zona, was that TV making history?
You know, I really don't know what that was. Here was the only thing. You were there. Dennis, you had a front row seat to that disaster. And it's really right when we started catching them. And I just wanted to shave the dude's head and be done with it.
And for the listeners that don't know, Seth Fighter is a fantastic fisherman. And as Overstreet would say, he has a fantastic flow as well. So, you know, Zona kind of took the lion and shaved his mane off, but he's still catching them. And, you know, as soon as you start shaving his head, I had Middleton in my ear, and I was in there. He goes, get in the boat. Show Fighter what his hair looks like. And I get in there, and if the hair cutting was not bad enough, and if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go to Bassmaster.com and look this up. If the hair was not bad enough, Zona went to cutting his eyebrows. He cut a couple different slots in his eyebrows, and I just remember you looking back at me saying, Geddes, do not move.
You know, what's funny about that whole experience was Seth looked at me the night before and he said, hey, he said, I got to get on the road for the next month. Are you good at cutting hair? And I said, Seth, number one, yes. Number two, I have trained my whole life for what could happen tomorrow. And it happened. It's almost, I'm not going to lie, it's almost something that you would have seen back in the days when Overstreet and I would have roomed together. About 2 hours after a weigh-in, you would have seen something like
You ain't cutting my hair, man. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hey, and what is it you always say, Zona? Overstreet had the beard back in the day when it was cool, and then he just decided not to shave it off during the time period that it kind of went out of style.
I remember my mom, I have a very Italian mother. I brought her to a weigh-in once, and she looked at Overstreet, and she goes, oh, who's that man? And I said, no, Mom, not who is that man. What is that man?
All right, Overstreet, let's back up a little bit here. So Overstreet is he has been a part of the Elite Series as the main photographer, and he was a fish catching machine for Jerry McInnes back when they used to track the fish. And I've heard numerous stories about Overstreet in Greenland and Sweden and wherever else he's been. He's in the military at one point. He put in potholes another time. And one time he even ran a roundup business. So he's done a little bit of everything. And if you ever need to ask Overstreet any questions, he's very vocal on social media. So, but what he's most known for is his photography. Overstreet, tell me a little bit about what makes James Overstreet. That's a philosophical question, but I want to know what makes James Overstreet. When you look through the lens of that camera and you see what you see, I've been trying to figure it out for the last year and a half since you've given me a camera and said, here, go shoot. Just don't back focus.
I don't know, man. I mean, I really, you know, when I do these webinars or whatever you call them, or I talk to a photography class or somebody asks me, you know, I guess you kind of get asked, you know, what your deal is a lot. You know, I guess I just kind of, maybe I see things a little bit different than some people do, or maybe most people. I mean, you shoot with your eyes. I mean, you can have all the best camera gear in the world. You hand it to somebody else, they're not going to do the same thing with it that you might. So, I think it's all how you see the world differently, Geddes, and how you pay attention to every, you know, you don't just, you don't see the whole of it, you know, you see pieces and parts of things. And I mean, you can learn how to do it, I suppose. Obviously you can work on it, but, you know, that's your job is to learn to see all the little pieces and parts and slow down and, tell a story with what you shoot. You know, it's not, you know, the toughest days on the water, like I've told you, or when you're on a guy's not catching fish, but you still gotta, you can still do something with that, and that's your job. So you know, and in the fishing world, I think maybe it maybe helps me that I've been around it my entire life. And maybe I have a little bit of a knowledge about all those little pieces and parts that make up the world of fishing. You know, going fishing is starts when you, you know, start tying your baits on. So there's a lot to it. And it's your job to show all of that.
Well, you've definitely been a storyteller that a lot of people look to really paint the picture of what's going on. And I'm sure next week at Waddington, there will be a lot of people looking on Bassmaster.com to try to figure out what's going to happen and what's going on. And listening to Z and listening to Zona and Tommy Sanders and Height and listening to what they have to put in. And there, I'm sure there's a lot of young listeners listening Zona, you talk to a lot of young people a lot of times, and I'm an example of it. You don't always have to prepare to become a professional fisherman out of college or out of high school. You can still work in the fishing industry and still have a lot of fun with it. What kind of words would you give to the younger audience listening?
I'll actually give them some advice that Overstreet gave me years ago, and I mean this. And it was interesting listening to what James was talking about his career. Is Overstreet and I have a saying. We always say, slow down, folks. And it's a saying that Overstreet would say to me all the time. I get going 900 miles an hour, and a lot of times you get going too hard. You don't take time to look around. And you know, one of the things that I could tell you, and I pass this on to my kids, is, you know, my kids fish, what I think my kids fish, like 27 tournaments a week right now. and they eat it, they breathe it, they live it. And one of the things I've taught my children is to slow down and not get wrapped up in the fireworks. And what I'm saying right there is you look at high school fishing and college fishing and all the television and media. Here's the thing. Put on a t-shirt, put on your hard hat, and go catch them. Don't worry about all the carnival going on. Just catch them and keep. To me, the best advice I could give a young angler is TOW. Time on water. That's it.
And that's
a long answer. That is,
and you could go on for days with that. And we have about 5 minutes until I think this machine cuts me off. Roger said in his pre-recorded segment that I didn't really know what hard breaks were, but I think I'm going to find out today whether I figure it out or not. But guys, we really appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate both of you individually and helping me out in my career and sharing y'all's stories. You know, a lot of people like to hear what happens on the road, and I'm sure, you know, these next few weeks are going to be some interesting weeks in the sport of bass fishing, and I think that there's a lot of things that are going on. Angler of the Year is going on. You know, one thing we did not mention though, going back to when you talked about Texas, is Lake Fork was announced yesterday. So Texas Toyota Bassmaster Fest is going to be a good time next year. That's going to be some big fish caught.
That's going to be a good. I did the first Toyota. What do they call that thing back in the day? The first one of those Toyota events they had like that was actually on Lake Fork. You know, it's hard to get a tournament on Lake Fork because you can't keep fish. So that tournament format allows us to go there, and I can tell you from that first rodeo we had there that's going to be a large time on Lake Fork. That's going to be a good one.
Oh, I'm sure it will be.
There was rumor after rumor after rumor that we were going to Lake Fork, and it finally came true.
That was the big rumor in the fishing industry. I'm glad it got out, you know.
Amen to that.
You just keep on doing you,
Gettis. Hey, J.O., that's not going to be a problem. I'm just, like I said, I'm appreciative of both of y'all. I'm glad you're on here. And, hey, that is a very interesting note that I will leave for Roger that you noted at the beginning of the show about the non-resident permits for duck hunting in Arkansas.
You'll have a lot of guys in South Carolina that'll want to know about that because they come here and they come here in big numbers. So the South Carolina duck hunters, they probably need to keep up with that.
Well, listen here, guys. I really appreciate y'all coming on. I'm sure I will see at least one of you next week, and I'm sure I'll be talking to Z through live, and we'll have a good time at Waddington. Real quick before we leave, give me your two guys Overstreet start.
Two guys where? Waddington?
At Waddington.
I'm going to go Golden Ram, Cliff Perch, and I want to go Van Dam, but I'll give you I'm going to go Justin Lucas for the AOY and tournament win.
Oh, big pick. Z, you got about 15 seconds to pick your two. Overstreet was, he was having a hard time there.
Give me some Jonathan Van Dam. We ain't seen him at the
in
a year or two. I'm going to take some JVD, and I'm going to splice it up with some Jacob Poroznik.
Oh, yeah, I like that. That's well, guys, good. Thank y'all so much again. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina, on WGTK, The Answer, 94.5, The Answer, with Roger Matz. And always remember, as Roger says, as you're going on the show, as you're taking off today, go on the back roads, look around, take your cam with you. Roger will be back next week. Thank you again for listening in. Shine, any desire.